Greetings this evening in the precious name of Jesus. We're glad to be with you. I'm glad to share with you. I'm glad to worship with you tonight. I know we're kind of strangers in one way, and yet on the other hand, not really. The thing that's kind of a little bit maybe unusual, many of you, I know your parents or your grandparents, so that kind of tells us a little bit on myself, I guess. But we're, like I said, for those that love the Lord, we're always glad to be together. So we start our week of meetings. We seek an interest in your prayers. Like to maybe every evening just talk a little bit about it, maybe a little pre-sermon talk. But tonight I thought maybe to start out the week, I have a little bit of the same thoughts that my brother had, and that is you know, when we want to accomplish something, we need to have some goals. We need to know what we want to do, and like I said, some goals. And I'm sure that you have your ideas tonight, and I'm sure that our goals are together. But I'd like to think just a few minutes tonight in relation to and on the thought of revivals. You know, you say we're going to have a week of revival meetings. And what do we have in mind when we talk that way, when we think about that? And, you know, what do we want to accomplish and so forth? Well, there's probably a number of things. I'd like to turn to the book of Psalms just for a few minutes, Psalm 85. Here we have a verse where David calls out and he asks, Not thou revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. I'd like to just read a few verses prior to that. Psalm 85, start reading in verse 1. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquities of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins. Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, for our salvation and the cause of that anger towards us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thy anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I like to think of that. The question is, David asks you, wilt thou not revive us again? And so when we think about that, you know, what comes to your mind? You know, when we think of revival, in a sense, you know, we're not going to do anything this week that we don't want to do every service we have. But even though this is a concentrated time, we would say, a whole week, every evening, more concentrated. But you know, when we think of revival, I like to think of three things or four that when we think about revival. And that is, I like to think of the three R's. You probably heard that before, right? But that's okay. We're going to talk about it again. You know, I think when we think of revivals, we are interested in people being born again, a rebirth experience, a new birth experience. We call that simply a rebirth experience, another birth. Because Jesus said, unless you're born again, you shall never enter the kingdom of heaven. So it is a very important thing. You know, we're interested in the rebirth of our children. You know, we are quite excited, you know, when the new child is born. And when children come into our homes and into our church. But, you know, also we are more thrilled, you know, when people then give their lives to the heart, their lives and hearts to the Lord. And they are born again. And they become Christians. You know, we're interested in the rebirth of our friends. We're interested in the rebirth of our neighbors and those about us. You know, as you advertise, as you share, come and share with us tonight. You know, so that people and have a chance and have an opportunity to be exposed, and so they can experience that new birth. And we're going to talk about that later on. And so that is one of the things that I think that a week of revivals ought to do, and that is the concentrated efforts. And maybe I don't know you all. I mean, I don't know your personal needs. I don't know your situation altogether. Which ones are Christians or not? But you know, for those of you who are here tonight and are not a child of God, have never experienced a new birth, this is what we're interested in tonight, that somehow we get you off the broad road and put you on the straight and narrow road towards heaven. That's what we're interested in tonight. And I trust that each one of us, that's our goal tonight. You know, the people become born again. We also, like I said, our neighbors and everybody, that's our desire. We're also interested in people. Also, revival, I think, should be a goal, and that is that we ought to revive. We ought to recover, I think, is another way. And that is that people, you know, when we think of revival, we think of reviving. You know, sometimes there's something that is close to death, that is sick, that is not normal, we would say, in health. And we need to revive that. Sometimes there's a business that is falling on hard rocks, you know. We need to revive it again. And sometimes there's that in our Christian experience. You know, people, we need to recover. We need to revive again. You know, there is the wayward ones that maybe have started out in their Christian experience. And then they have lost out. Somehow the evil one has got control. And somehow that they have lost their first love. And they need to be brought back again. They need to recover their experience. And they need to be revived again. Because unless there's a change, there's going to be a death. And we don't want that. You know, there might be some tonight here, you know, that maybe get a little sleepy. And that is dangerous, you know, because then we are not aware of what's going on. And we need to revive that. We need to bring them back to life, back to vitality again. And like, or there might be a wayward one, that there's simply a matter of they have lost their way. And they're not enjoying their Christian life anymore. And like I said, unless there is a change, there's going to be a death. And we don't want that tonight. And so, you know, revival should be a rebirth. It should be a recovery or revival again, you know, and brought back. You know, David said in Psalm 51, it says, "Restore to me the joy of the Lord." And I think it's so sad tonight, you know, there's a lot of people that are so called to be Christians and plain people, if you please. But, you know, they don't have the joy of the Lord in their hearts. You know, you're shortchanging yourself because God wants everyone to be happy in their Christian experience. And so tonight, if you're not happy in your Christian experience, tonight if you're a bit sleepy as a Christian, you know, I trust that somehow that through this week you would be revived again, you'd be recovered again, he brought this new life back to you again, and that you would enjoy simply, that you would simply have this joy of the Lord in your heart once again like you had one time. The third thing is I like to think about, and that is that maybe you've been born again, maybe you're not a wayward Christian, maybe you need to recover. But you know, if we're a happy person in the Lord, then you know, then revival can be refreshing. And I think that, you know, as we think about that, you know, I think every service ought to do these three things. You know, if there's somebody there that is not right, that they would become right, get right with the Lord. And every service should be, every time when saints get together and when we sing the praises, sing the songs of Zion, and when we pray together and when the word is expounded, you know, that every soul should be refreshed again. And I trust tonight, you know, that each night that we can be refreshed in the things of the Lord. And so, like I said, I believe that every Christian, you know, that is walking with the Lord, you know, just enjoys sitting under the sound of the gospel and enjoys the fellowship of the saints. And I trust that each one of us would be refreshed again tonight. And so, like I say again, you know, I trust that these things will be accomplished. And I trust that's your goal, that is my goal. And so, as we think about this, I think we're going to turn our songbooks to number 417. And we simply sing, now that revive us again. And there's various songs in relation to that. But in this book, that's what we have. And I hope that is your goal. And this is our testimony here tonight that we want to do that. Number 417. Every evening, I think we're going to have a little talk I'm going to have, and then we'll sing a song. It kind of breaks it up a little bit. And so number 417, I think we're all going to stand and we're going to sing this song together.
We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thank the glory. Thank you.
trust that this is what it does for us. You know, may each soul be rekindled with fire from above. I think it's so sad when people don't have that the fire of the Lord, their fire has gone out. But I trust that we can rekindle that if it has done that for you. This evening for our message, I'd like to turn to a familiar passage here in John chapter 3. We're going to start out with, I'd like to think about the new birth tonight. That's part of the revival, the new birth. You know, it's one of those things I have to say. And it's a challenge, and I almost feel a little guilty because when I think of this, I wonder, you know, when is the last time you heard a sermon on the new birth? When's the last time your local brethren preached on the new birth? You remember? Who has an answer? Do you remember when it was? You all forgot. Well, that's good. I'm preaching on it tonight. But I have to say, when I think of this, don't feel bad, because I have to say it's been too long ago since I preached it at home in my home church. But, you know, it's one of those things we kind of think, well, you know, it's part of our doctrine, it's part of our life. You know, there's always a young generation coming on. You know, and it's surprising sometimes, you know, when you talk to young people and when they talk about the new birth, you know, sometimes it almost feels like it's kind of, oh, it's a process, and maybe for some it is more. Or maybe they kind of think, well, really, what is it, you know? If somebody from the street, from Strawberry over here would ask you, he says, what is meant by the new birth? What would you say? Or have you experienced it, you know? And some people say, well, you know, it's kind of a, you know, I have to say, I'm a little disappointed sometimes when I think of some of our plain people, when some of these questions that they don't have a better answer. And there's a lot of never good answer. Don't get me wrong. I'm not down to the mouth altogether. But, you know, we need to keep constantly talk about this. One time I was kind of taken back. I was kind of young in the ministry, maybe a little too energetic. I'm not sure, but anyhow, this Amishman that I talked to, and I was wondering a little bit just where he's coming from. And so I asked him, he says, well, what do your preachers preach? He says, yeah, do they preach the new birth? He looked at me and says, well, what else do you think they'd preach? And, well, I hope they do that, and I hope they live it too. But anyhow, but you know, we have to be careful, you know, that we don't take things for granted. We need to get, and I realize that sometimes some of the things that are we can be hobby horses, we can overdo it, but I don't think the new birth, because I think every child of God ought to enjoy talking about the new birth. And just think about what is done for them. You know, finally, when we came out of darkness into light, when you came off the broad road onto the narrow road, you know, it's a time of rejoicing, and we talk about this. We could use various scriptures tonight on this subject, but I like this story here in John 3 here about Nicodemus coming. And I think first of all is we're going to read that first a few verses here, and then we're going to come back and look at it again. There's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst not tell whence thou comest and whither thou goest, for so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus said unto him, Art thou a master in Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man that hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now John 3:16, the center verse of the Bible, one we all know by heart, and let's all read it together. Everybody ready? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, as we think of this, there's just a number of things here, a lot of things in here we like to think about. First of all, is we just like to look at the setting a little bit. Here we have this Nicodemus coming to Jesus. You know, and maybe he had some questions, and he wasn't sure. You know, and of course there was the pressure from the other side, you know, not to be associated with this new teacher over here, this new preacher of Galilee. He said, you know, after all, he's a deceiver, and they had all kind of talks about him. But Nicodemus, there were some questions, and he was a bit of confused. But you know, he was, it says he came to Jesus by night. And I know sometimes people say, well, he's kind of a secret disciple, kind of a coward, you know. Well, I guess I'm not going to label him that way. I don't know. But I do know one thing, you know, how he felt now. But I know one thing, when he died on the cross, you know, it was Nicodemus, you know, went boldly and claimed the body of Jesus. But it doesn't matter what he came. But you know, the thing that encourages me here tonight is, and that is that maybe you're here tonight and you have some questions and you're a bit confused. You're not quite sure. But the thing that I see about Nicodemus that always encourages me, you know, even if he came by night, maybe Jesus was too busy. He just didn't have a chance. You know, he just couldn't have a private talk with him because he was so busy. And so he just had to come some other time. I like to think maybe that's the reason. But the point that I like here is, you know, and that is that he had some questions and he had some confusion and he wasn't sure. But you know, one thing, he came to the right place. He came to Jesus. And friend, tonight, you know, whether you're here tonight, this is where you need to come to. That is to Jesus. There's a lot of people tonight, you know, yes, they have their questions. They have their void in their hearts. And they aren't sure about this. And they aren't sure about that. You know, and then they go over here. And they'll read this book. And they'll read that book. And they'll go to this counselor. And they'll go to that counselor. When they really ought to come down to the foot of Jesus, to the foot of the cross. That's where they need to come to. And tonight, friend, I don't know what your need is or what your situation is, but you know, if you have any questions, if you haven't been there, I invite you to come there. That's where we need to come to Jesus. And you can come by night, you can come by day, it doesn't matter. Because you know, Jesus said, I am the door. And he said, if any man will come, he says, that this is the only door that we'll find that you can get to heaven on is through Jesus Christ. And so the question is, why would you want to go some other place? Why would you want to read some other books? Why would you want to take somebody else's advice? You know, when you really ought to come to Jesus, and that is the only way. That is because he is the answer. He is the door. That's the only door that finally will get you there. Beside that, I see also in the book of Revelations, it tells us there, you know, that he said, I am the first and the last. He says, and I have the keys. You know, when somebody has the key, and somebody has the keys, they're in charge. You can go to a prison, you know, and the one that has that big ring of jangling rings on his belt, he has the keys, and he's in charge. And he can make the difference. He can let you in, and he can keep you out. And if you're in, you can't get out. And if you're out, you can't go in unless it's him. And that's the way with Jesus. He has the key. He said he has the keys. And so tonight, he's the one that we must come to. And I trust, if you haven't been there, you know, we need to have an appointment with him like Nicodemus did here. And so, as we see here, you know, he had some questions. And then, you know, I'm always amazed, you know, when he says, when Nicodemus told Jesus, and then, you know, Jesus right away turned around and says, except a man be born again. You know, that is the only way. That's the only way we can have salvation. That's the only way we can get to heaven. There is people that have ideas of how to get to heaven, but, you know, find this is the only way. You know, it says, except a man be born again. You know, pardon me, the new birth is so important. And the new birth is it has to be. Because Jesus said that's the only way we can do it. And so we see that it's a doctrine that is so important tonight, and we need to experience that. And we're going to look at some other things in relation to this and some of the counterfeits and so forth. But you know, but here again, we must come, that new birth, the importance and that the new birth is tonight. I know that I've talked to people, and I'm sure you have too, you know, that says, well, you know, They try some other way. And Jesus said, there's people that are going to try that. They're going to climb up the other side, and they're going to climb up that wall. But you know, it's the door, and the one that has the keys is the only way we can get in. And that is through Jesus Christ. And we talk about new birth, and says, well, you know, now, you know, but we come back again. It's except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that's a must. And we ask the question because we realize when Adam and Eve sinned back in the garden, you know, yeah, the sin, and we all have the sin tendency. We all have the sin nature, and that has to be taken care of. I've heard people say already, says, I had no choice in it. You know, that Adam and Eve sinned. I had no choice. I was born in sin. God isn't fair and all that. But the fact is, did you have a choice in God's provision? You had no choice. But you have a choice whether you accept it or not. And that's the difference. And friend, tonight, we need to keep all these things in right order and straight tonight. And so, because the first birth will keep us out of heaven. The second birth can get us in. And so that's just how important it is. Well, when you think about the new birth, you know, the Bible talks about various, has other names we would call, in other words, other terms in various ways, and it's simply a matter of so we can understand. And we're not going to elaborate on all that, but maybe just for the sake of refreshing us and also maybe for our young folks tonight, you know, there's other names for the new birth. And, or in other words, it means the same thing. You know, we talk about conversion. That's, you know, that's the same as a new birth. Or we can talk about the new man or the newness of life the Scripture talks about. And you just take all those words all through the Scriptures and we can see how important it is when God talks about that. It talks about the new heart. It talks about the divine nature. It talks about a new nature. See, that's all. It all comes back to this new birth, what we're talking about here tonight. And so as we think of this, and so naturally when we think of that, the next thing we want to think about, and that is that important question, when does it take place? How does it take place? What are you talking about? What does it mean? What is involved in it? And so when we think of that, it is finally when it like I said, when and how it takes place, it's when we see ourselves as a sinner. You know, a person that does not see himself as a sinner and outside of God, you know, will never come to that saving knowledge because he thinks he can, his own good works or anything he'll do, he'll do it himself. But you know, it is when we see ourselves as a sinner. That's the first thing. And people that do not see themselves that way, and that is that we have a sinful nature, we cannot do it ourselves, there's nothing we can do except accept the plan of salvation. Now there's our response to it. And and it's so important that we see ourselves. And you know, for people even that have been born again, have the new birth experience for many years, then we constantly need to keep that in mind, that we are only sinners saved by grace, and we need to see ourselves as a sinner before God. And of course, when that comes, then God has a remedy for that. You know, even back there in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, we see that there was no remedy, but God came, and he gave him another opportunity. And he had a remedy for that estrangement they had there. And of course, that is his repentance. And when we think of repentance, there's a couple steps in repentance. First of all is we have to have a conviction. That is means that we have a conviction that we are a sinner and that we need something, that we can't do it ourselves. And then the next step is on repentance, and that is conviction. Then we need contrition, which is nothing else but godly sorrow. And we're so sorry that we're ready to stop that business and turn around and go the other way. That is when we talk about godly sorrow and talk about contrition. So that is what we're talking about. And then when we have that, then we need to, or I'm not saying it has to be an hour, but then we need to confess Jesus as the only remedy for our situation, for our sins. And there again, there's people that have all kind of remedy for my condition, for our situation, for our sinful nature. But Jesus is but we need to confess that we are a sinner and that Jesus is the answer. And I'm ready to say no to the world, and I'm ready to say yes to God. I'm ready to say no to the self, and I'm ready to say, and have him Savior of my life and also Lord of my life. And he cannot be Savior of our life long with us. He is Lord of our life also. And we're ready to confess him. And to say it, in other words, when we confess, that I'm a sinner. He is the answer. I accept Him as my personal Savior, and we confess our sins and ask Jesus to come into our hearts. And then, along with that, we need a faith in God. You know, finally God's provision. And it's so simple that some people say, well, there's nothing to it. Yes, there is. But, you know, we have to have a faith of what God says, that that's what He is and what He's going to do. And faith, of course, comes by hearing, and we can go on with what faith does. Well, we can, so that, like I said, it's a very simple explanation and term for that. We see also here, another thing is that Jesus said, you know, it's something that we can't see, but we can feel. It's something that we, in other words, and that is with our sinful nature, we know, with our problem. You know, we feel like, you know, there ought to be enough things that we ought to be doing, then after a while we're good enough to become a Christian. No. But it's vice versa. We accept that, and then it's a response to what He has done for us, and then, of course, the good works will follow. But our good works will never save us. But they will follow. They will give evidence that something has happened, and something that he has control. In other words, we change masters. And that, in other words, we change from the master of serving Satan and self and the world to let Jesus be in control, and the Holy Spirit and God's Word is our direction in our for our life. And so sometimes people say, you know, that, well, you know, they don't want to become Christians, but, you know, but they're not willing to follow that. They're not willing to say no. You know, it's a little like Moses. He made a choice. You know, finally that he was done with Egypt, and he was ready to identify with the people of God. As long as we think about this, I'd like to look at a few other examples in relation to that. We're not going to turn to that for the lack of time. But you know, we think of the Apostle Paul. We turn over there to the book of Acts. You know, the Apostle Paul, you know, that the change that it took place in his life. You know, he had a dramatic experience on the road to Damascus. You know, he left Jerusalem over there. You know, he left like a lion, do we even say it? That's what Isaiah is talking about. The lion, but you know, when he arrived down there in Damascus, he was a lamb. You know, and it was quite different. He left with a lot of confidence. He left with a lot of authority. He left with letters in his pocket. But you know, when he met the Lord, he says, "What do you want me to do?" You know, and that's the kind of brokenness that each one of us we need to have. What do you want me to do? And so this evening, you know, that's Paul's experience. It was Paul's experience. We see the eunuch. You know, he had a little different experience. Yes, he was down. He was going down the road. Of course, you know that Bible story. You know that story, how he was reading, and Philip came up to him and he said, "You understand what you read?" "Well, how can I?" "But you know, I see a teachable spirit there." And he says, "Well, you come up and you teach me." And you know, and finally, when he opened and he preached Jesus unto him. And he said, you know, he said, "Here is water." He says, "I'm ready to do it." You know, that was another kind of experience. And we see Cornelius. Maybe his was a bit different. We see Zacchaeus. He was a bit, maybe his experience was a bit different. But you know, they had an encounter with Jesus. And they left him be there. And they said no to the world. And they're no to self. And they're ready to let him be in control. And ask him to come into our hearts and to take full control. Now the point that I want with those examples is, and that is that sometimes, and I have to say that I even maybe, I had some struggles with that. In verse 8 it says, or verse 7 it says, "Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. It says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth." And so, you know, I see here, you know, it's an experience, and then, you know, sometimes the devil comes and says, "Well, you know, that didn't mean to a whole lot, you know, you didn't have..." And so some of these people, you know, they have to have a lot of fanfare, you know, in order to prove that. And that really doesn't prove a whole lot. But the fact is to know, are your sins forgiven, and is Jesus in control? Has He cleansed your heart? You know, that's the proof of it. But what I like to think of this, and I like to use this verse 8 here, just maybe to help us to understand some of that. And that is, I see here, these examples that I gave, that they were not alike. That there was a difference. And so, I like to think of it in this way. You know, pardon me. We see that not everybody has the same experience. And, you know, when we think of that, it's a little like the wind. It can be a severe storm. And it can really make a lot of noise. And I understand there's a tornado went, I'm not sure how close it came here last night, but, you know, I know in central Indiana they had one, and it's just where all it was. I got a little report of it. It was wind, but we couldn't see anything. I mean, they couldn't see anything, but they certainly saw the results. But, you know, we can have a nice, gentle breeze in the summertime. We can't see it, but we can feel it. And it's the results again, isn't it? And so tonight, maybe you didn't have an Apostle Paul experience. Maybe you had a eunuch experience in a change of life. Because Apostle Paul, maybe it wasn't a storm. Maybe it wasn't a strong wind, but it was still a wind. But we could feel and see the effects of it. And so that's the same way. So tonight, sometimes young people feel like, well, you know, I didn't have an experience like so-and-so. And I understand that you had Rene Rivera here some time ago for your evangelist. You know, and his experience was probably different than most of us. And it's kind of a breathtaking experience in all the things he went through. But, you know, you can have a nice, cool, calm experience and simply yield your life to the Lord, ask for forgiveness, and repent, and ask Jesus to come in, and you can be just as saved as Rene Rivera, even though he's a good friend of mine, and I appreciate him, and I like to listen to his story and his accounts. But, you know, and sometimes we feel like, well, if I don't have a Rene Rivera experience, that I must not be saved. No, not at all. The question is your will surrendered? And is he Lord of your life? Is he Savior of your life? And so I say again, he said, the wind bloweth where it lists. You hear this, you can't see it, but you can see the effects. And so if you had a Apostle Paul experience, Lord bless you. If you had a quiet, calm wind experience at home with your parents, Lord bless you. And you can be saved just as saved. And so let not Satan destroy you. Don't let him disturb you. And, you know, he's out to destroy, and he wants to do that, but don't let him do that if you have the peace of God in your heart. The next thing I like to look at a little bit, and that is, I like to look at some of Satan's counterfeits and some of the things that he has that we need to talk about sometimes. And I simply titled it this way, you know, the new birth is more than just what? You know, the new birth is more than just start going to church. It might be a good beginning, but that's not the new birth. And Satan would just be happy not to experience the new birth, but just go to church, because he knows that that's not enough. Now, that's going to be a result of it, but it's more than that. You know, and there's so many things that, you know, and the thing is, we like things that are tangible. We like the things that we see. We like the things that we can feel. And, you know, the new birth is something that we can't put our hands on. But I trust that everyone that had that, that they can feel it in their hearts. And they can have the assurance of that. So Satan comes along, and he doesn't want you to have that. But he would maybe kind of like for you to go to church at least occasionally. Maybe not too much, lest you get convicted. But, you know, but the new birth is more than just going to church. The new birth is more than just having a social reform. There's a lot of social reforming programs. And, you know, and I think, you know, they're good as far as they go, but that is not the new birth experience. You know, there's people that stop smoking without being born again. There's people that stop gambling without being born again. There's people that stop swearing without being born again. Now, if you're born again, you're going to stop all those, but, you know, that itself is not the new birth. And like I said, I'm saying this because Satan is very clever, and he would like to destroy the peace that you have in your heart tonight. And so if you're here tonight, and if you ask somebody, are you born again? Have you experienced that? They might say, well, I go to church, or I don't do this anymore. Well, that's good. But the fact is, have you met the Lord? You know, have you met the man? Have you met the person that has the keys? Is the question. And so this evening, it's more than that. You know, the new birth is more than just stopping some bad habits, maybe. And I referred to that already. Sometimes, you know, I'm sure you've talked to people already, and you ask them about their experience, and he says, Well, yeah, I'm not quite sure what you're talking about, but you know, but I do a lot of charity work, you know, and I give a lot of money, and I'm sure the Lord's going to remember that. Well, I hope too He does. But you know, if it isn't done in the name of the Lord, and if it isn't done as a result, if you're trying to do that to gain God's favor, it won't avail you anything. But if you do it in response to what Christ has done to you, then it's going to be a benefit to you. And so they can say it, you know, they say, well, you know, I'm a good, honest man. That's well and good, but that's not the new birth experience. And they say, I won't cheat anybody. Well, that's good, but that's not the new birth experience. You know, some people even say, well, I was baptized, but you know, there's people that are baptized that haven't had the new birth experience either. And that's not going to do it. You can have, because finally there's not enough water, you know, to wash away sins. It's the blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that does that. And so, but now, in response, we're going to be baptized, of course, and or be a member of the church, and you can go on and on with that. And so this evening, don't let Satan deceive you. You know, that these things, and if you're here tonight, and you're planning on getting to heaven by being honest, by going to church, by giving a tenth of your money or 20% of your money, if you're planning on getting there by being baptized, and if you haven't had the new birth experience, read this again. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. It's just that simple. It's that important, friend, tonight. And I trust it. You know, and so we just need to keep teaching this all the time. You know, the next thing is, I want to just warn you, that is, I'd like to think about, and that is that, you know, being a Christian, there's some things that it will not do. You might say, hold on, preacher. But that's right. Being a Christian, there's some things that it won't do. And that is, just because you're a Christian, you're not going to be free from temptations. Now, you can have victory over the temptations, but it won't free you from temptations. You know, Jesus gave us a beautiful example. It says, you know, right? It says He was led into the wilderness. He was tempted. And we know that Satan, and sometimes really, really, when there is, well, really when there is, the battle really begins when there is a conflict. And the battle begins when you change masters. You know, Jesus is not going to fight. He's not going to quarrel. But He'll give you the invitation. And He says, come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. And He has many beautiful, sweet, inviting invitations. But you know, when Satan loses, then the fight begins. And we always have to keep that in mind. And there's sometimes people want to make you believe that once you become a Christian, that everything's going to be roses. Yes, on the inside it will be. You won't have the guilt. You won't have the condemnation. But on the outside, there's going to be a fight. And you know, friend, tonight, there's no victory without a battle. And there's a battle. But we're so glad tonight that, you know, that there can be victory. And there is victory. And again, like I said, we don't want to deceive you. You know, and also, becoming a Christian, the new birth experience, you know, will not be free from all temptations. It will, another thing that it won't do, and that is that sometimes people act, and sometimes there's billboards, there's churches that say, you know, that, you know, when you become a Christian, that all your problems are gone. It's all over with, you know. He said, just a free ride, you know, and so on. No, not at all. In fact, Jesus talked again and again about, you know, the conflict between the right and the wrong. And so tonight, just because you might have a few problems, they might have a few temptations, but I think that as we resist the temptation, you know, each victory will help you some other to win. Every time, I think that maybe we get victory over that, and maybe the temptations will lessen, because the closer we walk to the Lord, the farther away we are from the world, so there will be less temptations. And too many Christians, you know, keep walking over there beside that guardrail where the problem is. If they'd get over and walk with the Lord, you know, it would lessen some of that. And there would be less problems. But it doesn't eliminate them all. And so don't get discouraged with that. In fact, you know, you look at the Apostle Paul there in Acts, when it says, and what was one of the first things that Jesus told him? He says, of course, we had that conversation there. And he says, and you go down there to that man, Ananias, and he says, and he will tell you some things. And he says, some things that you're going to have to suffer. You know, that wasn't very bright, was it, in his one sense? But the fact was, there was victory. And he had somebody to walk with him. And so that's, friends tonight, young people tonight, don't give up. Just because, and like I said, I know there's some churches advertise, there's some preachers advertise that, but that is not Bible, that is not correct. And so, It won't take care of all your problems, but you know you'll have somebody to take your problems to. And, you know, for people that live in the world and people that live for self and Satan, you know, and there's a loneliness. But, you know, when we experience the new birth and we walk with the Lord, we have somebody that we can take our problems to. Now, that's why we sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. Well, today we visited a widow, and she said, you know, I said, I don't know what I'd do without the Lord. You know, I can, he's a friend. We can talk about it, and he's concerned. He's ready to do his part, his bear with us. And so this evening, you know, let's not get discouraged. Let's not give up, because, like I said, there's victory, and we have somebody but there's some things that Satan is telling us, if you really have the new birth, you know, then all these, no, that's not the case. So let's not be deceived. Next thing I'd like to look at just for a little bit yet, and that is, let's just look at some evidences of the new birth. You know, not all of us are in the same place of life, but you know, I think the evidence of a new birth, of a new life in Christ, you know, it's an evidence of different interests, an evidence of a different life. It's evidence of faith. And, you know, there's people say, if you can't reason out, you don't believe it, you know. But, you know, it's, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We might not understand everything, but, you know, if we believe that if God says it, that's all that matters, and we're going to do it. You know, the evidence of a new life is that, you know, of who we are obeying. Are we obeying the Bible, or are we obeying the world? Are we obeying Christ? Are we obeying the Scriptures, or are we obeying self? You know, who, what, and where do we give our allegiance to? What are we, and pardon me, and we see the Apostle Paul again. You know, he was ready to, before that, he was following himself, but you know, he said, what would thou have me to do? He was ready to obey, and he was ready to do it. You know, I think evidence of new birth is that it also shows, you know, by our desires or our appetites or what we love. What is the dearest to us? And sometimes you wonder. And I think maybe that's part of a revival, and we need a recovery. We need a revival here because our taste buds are shifting over towards the world, you know. Friends, tonight, when the things of this world, you know, shouldn't be attracting us and the things of this life, but rather the things of God and the things of the things of the Scripture and the things of heaven, you know, and what we love. And I think it's just a good to check ourselves. Do I love the right things? And we probably will mention some of these things during the week sometimes, you know, find out what we love and where we're at. I think, do we display a life of righteousness and holiness? And life of separation, a life of following the Lord, you know, is that evident? You know, I trust that it is tonight. Also, I think also another thing is, and that is an evidence of a new life, of a new birth experience, and that is when we have a right attitude towards sin, a right attitude towards our past. You know, a person that rejoices in his sin and in his past, you know, you wonder, I guess you have a right to question that. But, you know, a person that is, give evidence of a new birth experience, you know, always lives a life of penitence. In other words, we're sorry for what we did, but we keep on being sorry. In other words, a godly sorrow, you know, that we're not living in that, we're not walking in that anymore. Well, we could go on with that, many more things. The last thing I like to look at, and that is, you know, what the new life in Christ would give you. There's a lot of things we could say. You know, a new life in Christ, a new birth experience, will give you victory over sin. Will give you victory in every area of life. It will give you a peace with God. You know, a peace that passes all understanding. A peace that nobody else knows unless you've experienced that new birth again. And sometimes on the outside there's some struggles and there's some turmoils and there's some problems. But you know, but we have that inward peace. It's a little bit like what they, you know, that's the thing is that just haunted those enemies of the Anabaptists. You know, they couldn't understand how they could be so at peace, you know, when the fire was burning. So peace when they were dipped in the water. So at peace, when they were thrown into, you know, out into the arena for the entertainment of the people, and they were at peace. Yes, I'm sure there was outside struggles, but you know, but God gave them a peace that was displayed and mirrored on their face, that it just haunted those men that were in charge there. And some were even converted because of that. Read your martyr's mirror and you'll see some of that. You know, it gives you assurance of sins forgiven. And, you know, it's part of that inner peace that our sins forgiven. You know, it places us into the family of God. And it's an act of faith, but you know, to be placed in the family of God. And the family of God, and to be a child of God, has so many benefits and so many side benefits, does it not? You know, when we stop and think about that, I mean, just for instance, I'm going to talk about that sometime later, if the Lord will. And that is when you think of being heirs together with Christ. I can understand maybe why God gave us a place in heaven, but to be heirs and joint heirs with Christ is almost beyond my imagination. But He said it is so, and we believe that. But you know, we can be placed in the family of God. You know, we can we can be what the new life in Christ, what will do for us and give to us. You know, that is that we can look forward to His coming. And so, friend, tonight, my question is to you. Are you at peace with God? Are you looking forward to His coming? Yes, we like life. We're going to live here and we enjoy life. We want to stay here as long as God wants us. But you know, if we're ready to meet Him, we're looking for better things. But tonight, if the thought of the coming of the Lord troubles you, friend, you need to meet the Lord. You need to meet Jesus. You need to have a meeting like Nicodemus did, and had a meeting with the Lord. If the thought of His coming disturbs you, yes, there's something within us. I know, you know, that God placed life in us, and we want to live and so forth. That's right. But you know, we are still looking forward to the coming of the Lord. And if you're not quite sure, if you have some things that you need to make right. Maybe you come under that class of we need to revive us. We need to recover some things here. Or maybe you have never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and tonight the coming of the Lord disturbs you. You know, tonight would be the not good night to get peace with that, so you can look forward to His coming. You know the situation. You notice here in verse 15 of John 3:16 that I read, it says, "Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." You know, it's one or two things. It's either perishing or life. And what is your situation tonight? If it's perishing, I invite you to come. If you have everlasting life, keep on serving the Lord and be faithful and true to Him. And so I trust tonight, we're going to give you an invitation. If you're not right with the Lord tonight, and if the coming of the Lord disturbs you, if the coming of the Lord troubles you tonight, if the thought of death, and you're not sure what's going to happen after death, friend, you come and meet the Lord, and we'll be glad to help you. We're going to sing an invitation hymn. If there's anybody here that is troubling tonight because of the coming of the Lord, we invite you to stand till I notice you, and we'll be glad to help you. And as we sing, see a song later, what shall we sing? Do you have one ready for us? Pardon? Number 303. And so, as we sing, and as saints are praying, and if your heart isn't right with the Lord, why don't you come tonight and simply get peace with God? Were you looking forward to the meetings? I trust that you were, not because I was here. But you know, if you want to enjoy the rest of the week, meet the Lord tonight, and then you can have the rest of the week. You'll enjoy Him more. And get rid of that guilt. Get rid of the sin, and take care of the sin question. Follow Jesus. Nicodemus came to the right place. Friend, tonight, you come to the right place too. Shall we sing?